Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us once again today on the air in this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's my delight and joy to come to you each day by way of radio to discuss issues that oftentimes are overlooked and are shunned in the society in which we live. I'm talking about issues that affect, negatively so, the family, the church, or the home, and the system of government in which we live. And so as a result of that, I'm passionate about looking at these issues from a central biblicist standpoint. When we look at issues and face them, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. John 17:17, the Lord Jesus himself declared, "Thy word is truth." So when we look at issues, we do so from the truth of the Word of God, not some denominational preference, not some ideology or philosophy that we may have individually, but what does the Word of God say? And so, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that as you join us today, that you will listen intently and that you'll participate. Many perhaps tune in not realizing it's a radio call-in broadcast program. It's a question and answer broadcast opportunity. It opens the airways for you, the listener, to participate and let your voice be heard. I am familiar with talk radio and have been for many, many years, and I find it fascinating the opportunity that multitudes would like to have to be able to have their voices heard. And so this is your opportunity to join in the dialogue and discussion today. And may I tell you at the very beginning of the program that you can participate by calling 401-1413, 904-401-1413, and join in the dialogue, the discussion we're going to be talking about today: killing our kids and destroying America. Killing our kids and destroying America. You might say, well, woe is me. What are you talking about? Well, that's the very reason I'm talking about it, because most people are not. Most people that love the Lord, standing in the pulpits many times, classroom and Sunday school class and teaching, Bible teachers, Bible preachers, seemingly have the philosophy and the idea that standing on the Word of God simply means telling people about Jesus. And that's exactly right. That's part and parcel. That's the ultimate overarching mandate of the Scripture, is that we go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that we go out in the highways and hedges and impact their lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that we live in a world today that's a wicked, evil, decaying, darkening world. And as such, we are to be salt and light. Salt is no good if it's left in the shaker. Light has no value if it is left in the closet or hidden, as the Scripture calls it in the King James text, under a bushel. It must come out of the closet and illumine society and point out the darkness, the despair, the danger, the devastation. So this broadcast is aimed at one or two things in particular. Number one, to bring you aware, to cause you to be aware of some of these issues that rarely, if ever, discussed in a public forum, especially from a Christian perspective. And secondly, once you're made aware of it, then God holds you responsible for doing something. As you'll notice in each broadcast on Let's Face the Issues, the bottom line is my challenge for you to be actively involved, to be involved in your church, to be involved in calling and petitioning and contacting those in the political leadership, or taking a stand at City Hall, taking a stand in some forum where your voice can be heard. I am delighted to have a number of dear friends that are not afraid to take a stand, that will take a stand and face issues forthrightly. And I believe that's the way God would have us to do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, and if you're a pastor, if you're involved in ministry, if you're in a church involved in ministry where there's dead silence on these issues, I would urge you to prayerfully consider having prayer with your pastor, pray with your Christian spiritual leadership in your church, urge them to take a stand. And I'm passionate about taking a stand now, because we're in the last of the last days, according to my Bible, before the church is raptured out, and there'll not be time anymore. And so those that we warn today, those that we educate today, those that we bring to the forefront today that's willing to take a stand and be valiant, visible, verbal warriors for the faith can make a vast difference on the number of those that we take with us when we're raptured out of this old world. I want us to think for a moment when we think about the subject, killing our kids and destroying America. The Bible says in Psalms 127:3 that children are a heritage of the Lord. Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, parents are admonished to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That Proverbs 22:6, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is a fascinating text in the Hebrew Bible. It says, train up a child in the way. That means the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go. Not that he wants to go, or not that society pushes him to go, but that he should go. And when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. Now, that takes a family that loves the Lord. You see, God created the family. God created the home in Genesis, the second chapter. Adam and Eve, and he gave Adam and Eve the responsibility of multiplying. And the purpose for having Adam and Eve having children and for Christian families to have children today is that we have others in the home that we can train to love the Lord and to honor him. You see, God created the family to be a microcosm of heaven. Ephesians 5 talks about the husband and wife relationship. Colossians 3 tells us about family relationship and how the children ought to obey the parents and how the parents ought to treat the child. And nothing in the picture of the biblical concept and the picture of the home will you find there being the outside adversarial approach to tear down the home and to destroy the family. We understand today, parents, that there's a real dilemma. We can teach our children in our home. We can guide them, direct them, pray with them, give them scripture, train them in the Word of God. And yet our government at every level has opened the floodgates to literally destroy the home through the children, to destroy the home via those that are in the classroom. How do we know that? Why do I say that? Let me just illustrate, ladies and gentlemen, a few things. And this is an elongated monologue to get to where we want to go in this discussion today. Bear with me. Jump in if you'd like to at any point. You might have insights that I've not found that you'd like to contribute to this broadcast. That's wonderful. The telephone number is 401-1413. How is it that these things are taking place with at every level the government has opened the floodgates? City Hall, Jacksonville, Florida. Tallahassee, the state of Florida. Washington, D.C., the federal government over our nation. We find today that public school systems is now a place of brainwashing your child. The rewriting of American history, the push to destroy the morals and the ethics and the values through the system of transgender and homosexuality through the LGBTQ materials. The materials in our classrooms today are largely written by, produced by, published by the sodomite community that would have you to believe as parents that your child might come in and say, Mom, I think I'm a boy, or a boy says, Mom, I think I'm a girl. And it's designed to cause you as the parent, cause we as the parents and the grandparents think somehow, some way that we need to mesh with society, give in to society. They're teaching our children how to be gay in the classrooms. The classroom's teaching our children that they may be a boy or a girl, are confused about their sexuality. They're teaching our children that Islam is peaceful and acceptable and that we ought to embrace it. And I could go on and on and on. All of this is being taught directly in opposition, hear me, It's being taught in the classroom, local level, state level, and in the college and university level. It's being taught in the classroom to literally brainwash our sons and our daughters and our grandkids to think that somehow, some way, what mom and dad's taught at home is ancient, is archaic, is out of date, and we ought to somehow thrust off all of the morals and the values and the mores and the foundations that we've been trained in and simply believe what secularistic, humanistic, socialistic society is telling us through the school system. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that. It's not just the government-controlled schools, but it's also includes both local and state government that's telling us these things. Just how will we protect our children and our families and our society with the legalization of pot? Listen very carefully. I don't know that there's any issue other than the sodomite issue and the Islamic issue that's any more dangerous than the drug issue in America today. Let me say that again. There are three main issues that I believe are confronting America today for the ultimate battle for the soul of our nation. And I believe those three things happen to be the Islamic issue, the sodomite issue, and the drug issue. Those three things, as you study the historic record in the Bible, as you study what the scripture says that in the last days we'll find, as you analyze what God's word has warned us about in history past for history to be utilized in history present to be the guide for history future in our nation and around the globe, you'll find that those are the three issues. We've talked about before on this broadcast about the Islamic issue. We've talked about before several times on the sodomite, homosexual, transsexual agenda issue. We've talked about two or three times about the pot or the drug issue. But I want to drill a little deeper on that subject because we're talking about the legalization of marijuana. It's already been, the referendum is passed in the state of Florida. And yet the government, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the government on every hand, local, state, and national, our governmental bodies are talking about with grave alarm of how we need to protect the child, that we need to have, even if there's a court case with a small child that cannot represent himself, there's a juvenile ad litem that is appointed. That's an attorney that's appointed to represent that child in a court scenario, in family battles, et cetera, et cetera. We have the Children and Family Services program to make sure that child is not abused. We have all kinds of federal and state programs to make sure that the child is properly nourished and has proper food, clothing, and shelter. We go all out on that. And yet at the same time, on the other side of that same coin, we have the federal and state and the local government pushing everything possible to make pot available to every child from the cradle to the grave, if I could put it in that bold statement. So the referendum is passed in the state of Florida to allow the use of marijuana. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the representatives, our House of Representatives and the Senate, our Congress in the state of Florida is meeting for about 90 days. They just started. They came into session yesterday. There'll be about 60 to 90 days in meeting. Part of the agenda is to come up with the enabling legislation to determine, to guide, and to control who can grow pot, who can sell pot, what are the requirements for that, what are the taxes on that, what will be the law guarding and watching over that, et cetera, et cetera. The enabling legislation to allow the growth, sale, and the control of the development of pot in the state of Florida. But I want us to understand, even now, the federal government via the Attorney General's office, Jeff Sessions' office has jumped into it and said that they are looking into what's going to happen in these states where there's state laws that it's allowing pot to be sold and used, and when it's in violation of the federal law. It is my prayer, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that Jeff Sessions will have the spine, the backbone, to take a stand and say no to the states that have introduced pot, they have it flowing like water on the streets, and that he'll step in and do something to control it from the federal level. Now it looks like just the states can pass any such law, and those laws are in direct conflict with the federal law in relationship to that. I want us to understand some of the things before we get into the depth of what pot is doing to America and what it's going to do in the state of Florida. Here's an article. By the way, I've done tremendous research, broad in depth of the research on this subject. So it's not a matter of hypothetical what I think. I'm going by some professionals in the realm of what they've researched and found, and I'm just going to give you a little glimpse of, a little thumbnail sketch of some of that. Here's an article that says, behind the scenes, the use of marijuana is not only harmful to the pot smoker himself, he can also become a risk for society. Research clearly shows that marijuana has the potential to cause problems in daily life. A study of 129 college students found that among those who smoked the drug at least 27 out of 30 days before being surveyed, critical skills related to attention, memory, learning, and were all seriously diminished. A study of postal workers found that employees who tested positive for marijuana had 55% more accidents, 85% more injuries, and 75% increase in being absent from work. Now, let that soak in for a while. Many people will tell you, this article goes on to say, that marijuana is not dangerous. Consider who's telling you this. Aren't these the same people who are trying to sell you the pot? As I've said before, ladies and gentlemen, on this same broadcast, those research projects that have been paid for by city, state, and federal governments, for the most part, has been done through the pot dealing, pot smoking, pot growing, pot advocacy groups and organizations. Sure, they have a different name. It's going through a different LLC for part of their major group. But let me just read further. This article says marijuana can harm a person's memory, and this impact can last for days or weeks after the immediate effect and the use wears off. In one study, a group of heavy marijuana users was asked to recall words from a list. Their ability to correctly remember the words did not return for normal use until 4 weeks or longer after stop smoking pot. Further, the article says, students who use marijuana have lower grades and are less likely to get into college than normal than non-smokers. They simply do not have the same abilities to remember and organize information compared to those that do not use pot or other substances. And then the article goes on to tell you, to warn us of what the dealers will tell you and what the dealers are telling your sons and daughters at school and how they're getting into the classrooms and how they're being motivated to push pot on every level with those that are involved in the pot use now. One pot user will have his dealer to come in and talk with the group and talk with the peers and convince them that this is wonderful. Here's an article from a person that was a pot user. I considered marijuana to be the most dangerous drug out there. It is my considerable experience. It's wrecked more lives than any other mind-altering, with the exception of alcohol, perhaps. It isn't and instantaneous destructive as many other legal drugs, but it is ultimately destructive. Pot and its destructive devices slowly remove ambition and cognitive functions, both in short and long-term fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very dangerous scenario. And the bottom line, where I'm going, if you're wondering where am I going, I'm not rattling on just arbitrarily and capriciously. I'm getting to a point, and that point is, and I'll share with you now and get back to it, is that I'm going to call on you as the listener to get on your telephones, to get on your computers, contact the legislators in Tallahassee, ask them to please, please, please withhold any final judgment decision on enabling legislation for pot in the state of Florida until we see what the Attorney General's office is going to do in Washington, D.C. It is my prayer that Jeff Sessions, as our Attorney General, will step up, speak up, and will foreclose the possibility of any state. There must be serious, serious consequences for any state that legalizes marijuana that will destroy our children and destroy our nation. It will kill our kids and destroy United States of America. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there's a need for us to get busy. Call Tallahassee, talk with the representatives, encourage them to postpone any decision until a definite decision is made from the federal level. Ask them to save our children. We're talking about all kinds of things. In fact, not too long ago, Governor Scott entered some, I believe it was $51 million in the budget to help defray the cost of protecting our kids and our families from the opioid use. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We would not have opioid use for the most part were it not for the gateway that's called marijuana. The gateway to all heavy drugs, heroin, and other opioids is as a result of the use of pot, the use of marijuana. So just what are the states doing about legalizing pot? California, for example, is the latest state to just get all euphoric because they're now saying it will be pot sales in California will be $5.1 billion business. Why is it so that the California legislators were so interested in legalizing pot? Was it because they knew it would protect our children? No. Was it because they did not know that it would destroy our kids? No. Was it because they did not know that it will ultimately harm America? No. It was simply because it'll bring in 38.2% of every dollar sale, 38.2% in sales tax, into the billions of dollars. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, it is horrific when we find that the politicians are more concerned about having more money in the pot to be able to spend and lavishly use for themselves than the concern about the citizens in any state. May I remind us, the opioid epidemic is minuscule, you hear me, minuscule, in comparison to the ultimate damage and the destruction that will be caused as a result of continual statewide legalization of marijuana. If we want to know what the problems are, just go back and look at some of the surveys and some of the analysis of what's happened in the state of Colorado. Colorado's had marijuana sales now on every street corner, if you will, since about 2014, the latter portion of 2014. It's about 3+ years old now. Let me just read you some blurbs from a major publication. It says marijuana devastated Colorado. Don't legalize it nationally is the plea from this writer. This article says arrests are up. That is police arrest. We still have a black market. See, the mindset in Colorado was, well, if we just pass this marijuana law and let it be legalized, it'll stop the black market. No, the black market has exponentially increased. The black market simply meaning being sold without the state getting taxes on it. That's the bottom line. That's what the state calls black market. And people are in danger, this article says. And by the way, last week, Senator Cory Booker, a loose lax lost liberal, introduced the Marijuana Justice Act in an effort to legalize marijuana across the nation and to penalize all local communities that want nothing to do with this dangerous drug. This is the furthest reaching marijuana legislation effort to date and marks another sad moment, this article says, in our nation's embrace of the drug that will have generational devastation consequences in America, end quote. Further, the article says, our country is facing a drug epidemic. Legalization of recreational marijuana will do nothing that Senator Booker expects. We heard many of these same promises in 2012 and following when the first state started talking about legalizing marijuana on a recreational basis in the state of Colorado. In years since, this article says, Colorado has seen an increase in marijuana-related traffic deaths, poison control calls, emergency room visits. The marijuana black market has increased in Colorado and not decreased. Numerous Colorado marijuana regulators have themselves been indicted for corruption. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Senator Booker stated that his reason for legalizing marijuana is to reduce marijuana arrest happening so much in our country, he says, targeting certain communities, the poor communities, minority communities, etc. And this article says it's a noble cause to seek to reduce incarceration rates among these communities, but legalizing marijuana just will have the opposite effect. According to the Colorado Department of Public Safety, arrest in Colorado of black and Latino youths for marijuana possession has increased 58%. 58%. This means that the black and Latino youth are being arrested more for marijuana possession after, hear me, after it became legal in the state of Colorado. So don't tell me that if you have legalization that it will lower the arrest rates. Don't try to deceive the public by saying that somehow, some way, if you make it legal, it will make it less desirable. That's an absolute lie from the pits of hell. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to go in a definitive fashion in a moment before our broadcast is over today talking about the real harm. Here's a researched article by Medical Science on this subject. And the title of the article is The Harmful Effects of Marijuana. And let me just read you several blurbs. Time will not allow me to go through the total research article. But may I remind us, this is from medical research. The immediate effect of taking marijuana includes rapid heartbeat, disorientation, lack of physical coordination, often followed by depression and sleepiness. Some users suffer panic attacks and major anxiety. Marijuana smoke contains 50 to 70% more cancer-causing substance than tobacco ever did. One major research study reported that a single cannabis joint can cause as much damage as for the lungs as up to 5 regular cigarettes smoked in one day. Long-time joint smokers, that's on my pot, often suffer from bronchitis, inflammation of the respiratory tract, and other major respiratory problems. The drug can affect more than your physical health. Studies in Australia, for example, linked to years of heavy marijuana use to brain abnormalities. This is backed up by early research on the long-term effect of marijuana, which indicates changes in the brain similar to those caused by long-term abuse of other major drugs. And it goes on to talk about, it opens the doorway, ladies and gentlemen, for opioids and heroin. This article says, thus, even small amounts of marijuana can cause temporary sterility in men. Marijuana can also disrupt a woman's cycle, normal monthly cycle. This article says, studies show that the mental functions of people who have smoked a lot of marijuana tend to be diminished. It goes on to say, over the last 10 years, many children of marijuana users have been born with reduced initiatives and lessened abilities to concentrate and to pursue life's goals. Studies also suggest that parental, that is, before birth, use of the drug may result in birth defects, mental abnormalities, and increased risk of leukemia and other major diseases. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line. Let me just read you from the summary of this medical scientific research on the subject. And it covers short-term effects and long-term effects. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the killing of our kids and destroying America through pot and through the marijuana legalization state by state, city and county by county. This article says short-term memory problems, severe anxiety, including fear that one is being watched or followed, paranoia, very strange behavior, seeing and hearing, smelling things that aren't there, not being able to tell imagination from reality, panic attacks, hallucinations, loss of sense and personal identity, lowered reaction to time, increased heart rate and the risk of heart attacks, increased risk of stroke as a result of it, problems with coordination, impairing safety in driving and playing any sports, sexual problems for males that use marijuana, up to 7 times more likely to contract sexually transmitted infectious diseases than non-smokers or non-users. The long-term effect, let me just hurriedly go through this. We've got about a minute and a half on our broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to understand the seriousness of this subject that I'm talking about. The decline in IQ up to 8 points in prolonged use of marijuana. Poor school performance, impaired thinking and ability to learn and perform complex tasks, lower life satisfactions, addictions, potential development of opioid abuse, relationship problems, intimate partner violence, and an astronomical increase in the stealing of money and the lying and the cheating and the burglaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Financial difficulties, the loss of homes and foreclosure as a result of it, increased welfare dependence, greater chance of being unemployed and not ever able getting a job. Ladies and gentlemen, it's sad to say, we're in a position that if we don't speak up now as Christians, pastors, listen, speak up from the pulpits, warn your congregation. People, speak up, call the legislators in Tallahassee, the representatives and the senators, and plead with them, beg with them, don't pass the enabling legislation this year. Do not pass any further damaging, destructive laws that deal with the pot and with the drugs in the state of Florida. Our state cannot afford the diminishing and the killing of our kids and the destruction of our families. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to the broadcast even tomorrow as once again face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.